So let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm joined by Kevin Lugo once again. Kevin, there's really nothing else to discuss than the end of what should have been the end of Game 4. So we're just going to begin there with your thoughts on the balk call and what this meant for the series.
Well, what it's meant for the series is that the series was turned into a complete and utter mockery. Unless you've been under a rock, what happened was Winnipeg had a runner on second, Wes Darvill. Casey Turgeon's at the plate, two strikes on the batter. Brian Cushmall's pitching for Wichita. Turgeon grounds out to third, throw to first, Wichita's your champs. Except umpire Joel Stegner decided to play his own little game called, let's call balk on a pitcher who's only had one balk his entire career. I'm at a loss for words sometimes. Why on earth would Ryan Cushmall be trying to hold a runner on second with two outs and two strikes on the batter? Going into the stretch has no bearing on what pitch he's going to throw, on how the batter's going to do. He's not trying to deceive anybody. It's not like there was a speedster on first base that he was trying to hold close. So it's a complete mockery. And frankly, there is no champion in the American Association this year. There is, but unfortunately, they're not going to get rings.
Well, I have to say that I'm in complete agreement with the things that you've said related to this. You and I, before the show, had talked about the fact that I went back and watched the ninth inning again on the American Association website to see how Cushmall had pitched against Winnipeg in that inning. And if you notice, after the first hit hits off T.J. Mittelstadt's glove and falls in for a double, Ryan Cushmall is extremely direct about the way that he has pitched for the first couple of batters in there. There was a very distinctive 4 or 5 second set at the top when he was holding the ball until he worked it down to his waist, and there was 4 or 5 seconds. But when he got to Casey Turgeon, had two outs, and had a left-handed batter, so he knows Darvill's not running anywhere. Martin Medina is the best catcher in the league at throwing out runners and has a clear pathway to that. Nobody obstructing him whatsoever. He was not that direct about it. And the time between the second strike pitch and that pitch in terms of his set was exactly the same. There was no difference in that whatsoever. Yet somehow or another, the third strike was a balk and the second one wasn't. What's the difference? Winnipeg had lost. Okay? And to me, the MVP of the series is Joel Stegner. Okay? Because I've listened to people and gotten all kinds of emails from people about, well, they could have come back and battled. But there was no need for that. Okay? Absolutely no need for that. This is not like, and I had mentioned this to Kevin, this is not like the third inning, something, a terrible call happens and you still have six innings to battle this out. This is, the series is over. It's completely done at that point. And the worst call in the history of officiating, something that websites all over the, out here, Kevin was talking about Sports Illustrated, even posted a story
about this. SI.com.
Okay, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened in terms of officiating, the worst officiating call that we've ever seen. And I think that this is a call to start taking a serious look at who's running this league. Okay, because what I'm outraged by personally as a fan, okay, and I think there's a lot of people out there who are going to agree with this. We've seen three incidences happen over the last 15 months or so with Winnipeg that makes it seem like there's some catering towards this team. Last year, there was the Winston Abreu, Victor Capion, and Willie Cabrera deals that all went to Winnipeg for nothing in return but cash. Okay? Then we had earlier this season where Sioux City has a game postponed because Winnipeg has the flu, okay, and can't get more than 15 guys to play, last I knew, that was still planning to be able to play in a baseball game.
Okay. Still got six spare guys.
Exactly. And so now this. Okay, and I think that this is the time to start looking at a new commissioner. This is the time to start looking at how umpires are chosen in this league, because what's going on right now is a travesty, and I'm embarrassed for teams like Wichita Kansas City, Lincoln, St. Paul, and all the rest who are forced to put up with this.
You've hit it the nail right on the head. And for those that are saying, well, Wichita had a chance to come back, well, look at the human emotions involved. They got the last batter out. They were under the impression they won the championship. You're going to take that away and tell them, you've still got to try to get them out, and you got to do it right now. Okay, so they haven't got a chance to mentally kind of get their heads back into the game. Well, we saw it happen. Casey Turgeon gets a game-tying double, and the game goes on into the wee hours of the morning, and Winnipeg won the battle of the bullpens, but it never should have had to have gone to that. And I'll take you back on a way, way back journey here. Let's go back all the way to 2005 with Winnipeg. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on this show before. One of the reasons that led to the split of St. Paul, Sioux City, Sioux Falls, and Lincoln going to the American Association was Winnipeg, among the many harebrained ideas that the majority of the owners of the Northern League had at the time, was they wanted not just gold eye games, they wanted all playoff games played in Winnipeg because they were one of the top draws in the league for playoffs. I mean, come on, it's insane. And that amongst other ideas that owners had. But it seems like now you fast forward to when Winnipeg, Gary, Fargo, Kansas City all come back into the American Association. It seems like the league has gone overboard in trying to keep Winnipeg happy. Fargo has conformed to what the American Association is. Kansas City, heck, at one time they wanted to play an inning of a game on Xbox and have it count. Well, Kansas City has conformed and they've become a well-behaved member of the league, but we've still got the little frat party going on in Winnipeg where they seem to want to do, and, well, frankly, they're getting away with anything they want to do up there, and it is totally taken away from the integrity of the league. Miles Wolf, who, bless him, I mean, he's the man that got the independent baseball revolution going, but the game has passed him by. It's time for a commissioner that is going to look into guys being paid under the table. I've had several league people on the inside tell me they believe Winnipeg is paying guys under the table. Someone told me that he thinks that 2/3 of the teams are. We need a commissioner that's going to go in and investigate this a little bit, actually enforce the rules, not make up rules on the fly like you can call off a game because you got a ookie belly. So, yeah, you're spot on. Like I said, Miles is a great man. He owns a team in the Can-Am League. Well, maybe it's time for him to just focus on that, and let's bring in a commissioner that is going to be more hands-on with the American Association as well. Frankly, we don't even see Miles Wolf in St. Paul this year. He used to at least stop at all the ballparks every season. So,
one thing you didn't even mention in relating to the paying of the table. And again, I'm not accusing Winnipeg of doing anything like that. Okay, I don't know the...
No, we can't. We don't have proof of it.
Okay, and I'm not going to say it. But one thing that you talked about with me earlier in the year that I do have some concerns about is Zach Neuting cut from the team, and what happens to him?
Team security.
Gets a job of team security with the club, and then was back in the playoff roster. Okay, this is a guy who should have probably been pitching somewhere else if he was good enough to make a playoff roster in the championship series. Okay, how is this guy not playing somewhere else? Okay, team security?
And the strategy of that is the guy is around, ready to get activated at any point, but he is still getting paid, but that money is not going towards the salary cap for the season. Granted, Winnipeg did play short a couple players this year, but yes, there's a lot of rumor and innuendo and speculation out there, and usually I don't like to deal with rumor and innuendo, but boy, there's enough of it out there. It really makes you think that something is not right up in Winnipeg. And Another point we could hit on with Winnipeg, too. How often have we seen teams have to go up there and play shorthanded?
All the time. In this series, we do. Because we know that Danny Gutierrez couldn't get in.
And there's your game five starter right there.
Yep.
Instead of pitching a very rusty Tim Brown, you come back with Danny Gutierrez. And it doesn't seem like Winnipeg has any problems getting guys into the U.S. to play series. But, yeah, teams are having to jump through circles. They're getting long waits at the border crossing. To me, either, I don't want to say the Gold Eyes are in cahoots at the border crossing, but if I was Gold Eyes management, I would kind of say, hey, let's start treating these guys a little better when they're trying to get in to come in and play us. But that would mean that they care, and, well, frankly, Rick Forney, to me, is going to take any advantage he can, whether it's ethical or not. I mean, let's look at Forney last June. The Gold Eyes had agreed that Kevin Millar could play for St. Paul. It was part of the Saints' 25th anniversary. It was a big night. Millar was in town. A bunch of the Saints alumni were in town. Well, the Saints were short some bodies, so it went from Millar playing in the field and having a bat to, well, they thought, well, how about we just have him DH? Rick Forney just threw a wild fit about that. He was threatening to call his owner and have him call the league and protest the game. He was going to protest the game over a 46-year-old man who hasn't had a professional bat in 6 or 7 years. And look at the publicity from Millar playing. That was positive.
Yep.
We saw that all over TV, national TV.
Yep.
That was good publicity for the American Association. But now what do we get Monday night? We get a bunch of websites kind of mocking it, and frankly, if I'm a player looking at playing in the American Association, I'd be thinking, well, geez, that's a glorified beer league. I think I would rather play Atlantic League or Frontier League. This is great publicity, you know, for a show called This Week in the Association, but like I said, I'm not going to whiz in someone's hand and tell them it's rain.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, too, because now we have four successive years of something basically scarring and tainting the championship series. 4 years ago, the Wichita Wingnuts go all the way in advance and win the championship. After that season was over, two owners in this league complained about the fact that one of the local colleges in Wichita, Neumann University, offered, as part of players being with the team, that they could go to class at Neumann for free. It was not anything Wichita set up. The Wingnuts didn't set this up. The school offered it for free for anybody associated with the Wingnuts. So people who worked in the front office, or grounds crew people, whatever, could have this opportunity. The league decided, even though they didn't really, according to what I've heard in this, they acknowledged that this wasn't really an unethical thing at all, but because some owners had complained and Wichita had won, even though it had been known that this was going on since Wichita had become a club, the owners are fined $5,000. 3 years ago, we see Laredo battles back to win the championship series. We know for sure Travis Denker, paid under the table by the team, they're fined $5,000. Why those are considered the same fine for a clear violation of league rules, I don't really understand. But here's the team that wins the championship and is paying a player more than what he is supposed to be getting, and the league knows it, okay? But they got the championship. 2 years ago, we talk about Winnipeg makes these deals. They get themselves in a great situation, and they win. And now this balk call taints the entire 2017 championship. And I think that it's time to start looking at this and saying, you know what, we may be the best independent league, but we're about to become a joke. And if we don't start to do something to clean this thing up or find somebody who can make this a better league, we are going to be the joke.
If I was the Atlantic League, I would be coming into the Midwest and start kicking some tires. Because, quite frankly, if you got four teams that would be willing to do it, and I would say in Kansas City, Wichita, St. Paul, maybe Chicago, I would not say Gary just because how they kind of like to run with the young guys, and a league with no salary cap would be, well, it would be doomsday for them. If I was the Atlantic League, I'd be looking at have a little talk with these teams that are seem to be the victims of the under the table antics and say, hey, you know, would you like to place more games in your season? Would you like to play in a league that doesn't have a salary cap, that doesn't have LS restrictions? If I was St. Paul, I'd say, sign me up. Frankly, I don't care if I'm playing the Somerset Patriots instead of Fargo. Most fans don't even know who the heck the other team is. So, yeah, it's like you said, the American Association is quite frankly becoming a joke. And the punchline is something I'm not really laughing that much at about. I love following independent baseball, but boy, this other stuff just really clouds it. And right now is the first time I've heard about the thing with the college in Wichita. And wow, I guess the last thing we want baseball players and staff doing is getting an education, heaven forbid.
And that's what the owners thought too. They say, look, this is something being offered for free to try to improve the, you know, the education of somebody, and yet that's somehow or another cheating. But regardless of, you know, how that comes about, that we're just seeing now a continual pattern to where one champion after another finds themselves under a microscope of why did they really win. And you just can't have that. At this point, I think you got to start looking at some changes at the top of the office here.
I don't think Reggie Abercrombie worked a clinic in Winnipeg for free this season either. So I got a feeling these guys are getting paid a little more than they should for this, that kind of work off the field. It's all these little things they can do to circumvent the salary cap. And like I said, frankly, let's... me as a Saints fan, I want the Saints to play in a league with no salary cap. Let's get it where you can have as many veterans as you want, where you don't have to have money under the table. You know, a team like Gary, maybe they're a better fit for the Frontier League. And you know, I guess whoever's left over, I guess they got decisions to make. Do they want to stick with this? What is, I think, is currently a corrupt American Association, or do they want to form their own league or fold? So I'd say it's every team for themselves, but frankly, the American Association, as it's being ran right now, is, it's like we said several times in the show already, it's a joke.
Well, there's a big owners meeting in Sioux Falls at the end of October, and I would love to see how that winds up working out, because I believe you're going to have one completely irate ownership group about what has gone on in the last week, and I would assume that there are probably six or seven other ones out there that feel the exact same way, that you can't have even, let's give Joe Stegner the greatest amount of credit here. What's just, he, you know, he thinks he's seen a balk, and you know, so he's going to make the call. He's going to be as by the book as he humanly can on the spot. Let's just say that that's the case. The fact of the matter is, there's a whole lot of perception that a person can look at this league right now and think things are not equally officiated at all, okay, from the top down. And I think that becomes the greatest concern for this league right now, is because a lot of times to most people, perception's reality. And the perception of this league is one team is getting a huge amount of advantage over the rest of them.
And, you know, you and I have both talked to several people inside, and the umpiring is the worst we've ever seen it. I think it's time to, when you look at it, when you look at independent baseball, teams that are not Winnipeg, the goals are to move players back into organizations, to move players up. I haven't looked too hard, but I have looked a few times, and I don't see many umpires that were in the American Association getting into the major leagues. I don't think there's been a single one. And that tells you that they're getting the guys that are on their way up or on their way sideways or flopped somewhere else. And, well, frankly, there's a reason for that. I say it's time. Let's get some fresh blood in, and maybe we can get some umpires that do have a clue, that do have the moxie, who have the makeup to try to move up in baseball, as opposed to traveling around in an independent league all summer collecting a paycheck and kind of half-assing it.
Well, I'm not usually one to criticize officials. I understand that they got a fair.
I used to be an umpire myself, so I could feel a little bit of the pain, but I would never have made a call like Stegner did. You know, to me, that's like, I made the analogy last night. Let's say your team is in an overtime game in the Stanley Cup Finals. You score a goal, and the official at the other end of the ice, after your team is on the ice celebrating like you've just won the Stanley Cup, says, hey, the opponent's neck got knocked off a millimeter off of the pegs. No goal. That's what this is like. Imagine, I mean, granted, ESPN doesn't even think the NHL exists, but for the other networks that do, can you imagine the embarrassment to the league if they made a call like that?
I'm going to tell you, we actually did see a circumstance along that line. I believe it was 1999, St. Louis and Buffalo in Game 6. Brett Hull.
Dallas.
Okay, Dallas. Okay, maybe that's what it was. Gets a goal, and somebody had their foot in the crease. And according to the
Brett
rule,
Hull.
Okay, according to the rule, that meant that that was supposed to be overturned, that you couldn't have that in there. But that was, you know, the winning goal in overtime and Game 6 and the championship had been won, and everybody pours out the ice, and then the refs announced, hey, look, we're going to take a look at this. And the league looked at this and thought to themselves, okay, yeah, by the complete letter of the law, this guy's wrong maybe, okay? But we're not going to pull a championship away from a team at this particular point because this would be ridiculous. And nobody ever really argued about that after a couple days. Well, this situation, you took a championship away from a team, okay, on a call that was at best marginal, at best, okay, and you did it in such a way that you completely deflated everything that was going on with Wichita at that point. This team is poured out onto the field and is jumping on each other, and then you're yelling about some guy committing a block where they're, again, the pitch between pitch two and pitch three is no different at all. Okay, I think to myself, this is a completely abusive use of your power at that point, okay, to have even considered that. And go ahead.
The best umpires are the ones in which you'll never remember their name because
exactly.
And we will remember Joel Stegner for years. And to me, as a fan, as someone that was once an umpire, granted it was beer league softball, but to me it was like you let the players play the game. Those fans are not there to watch an umpire. And, yeah, Joel Stegner made himself. Like you said, he could very well have been the most valuable player of the series. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if he got fitted for a ring or got involved in the champagne afterwards or what. But, wow.
I mean, I look at it, and this was a point that we made, but I want to elaborate on it a little bit more, is that if you look at that entire inning, Ryan Kuchmal didn't throw to second base. He didn't step off the mound at any point to try to, you know, kind of get the runner to back up a little bit. Wes Darvall meant absolutely nothing to him other than trying to keep him from scoring. Okay. And he didn't make any kind of extra effort to try to ensure he kept him closer to the bag or anything like that. There was nothing about that entire inning that said this guy's trying to cheat or trying to circumvent the rule to ensure that he doesn't give the runner any kind of advantage. Okay, so to make that call, which again, Bach is supposed to be ensuring that you're not deceiving the runner. There's nothing associated with that at all, nothing. And to make that call, to me, I said this to Kevin before the show began. To me, to this point before, the worst officiating call I'd ever seen in the history of sports was when the replacement refs were filling in the NFL, and on a Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packer defender intercepts the ball in the end zone on the last play of the game, and the Seattle receiver has his arm up underneath the defender for Green Bay, but they rule it a touchdown because he's touching the ball, okay? And I thought, that's the worst call I've ever seen in my life. This one topped it, okay? And if Joe Stegner's in this league next year, I can't fathom how that could even be a possibility because I can't believe anybody's going to take this guy as credible anymore.
There might be a front office job waiting for him in Winnipeg. They become Andrew Collier's assistant. Yeah, there you go.
That's what it's going to take. Well, we will say the Winnipeg Gold Eyes are technically the 2017 American Association champions. We do wish congratulations.
With an asterisk.
Yeah, we do say congratulations to them. You know, on a bad note for them, you know, I mean, I feel for the players in this respect of they're never going to be given the credibility that they deserve. Mikey O'Brien pitched incredible in relief in Game 6 after coming on. You can't say enough about Victor Capion. I believe appeared in all 5 games of the championship series. These guys, you know, a lot of the players were out there just doing what they needed to do, and they played their hearts out. Unfortunately, they're never going to be given credit because there's many, and I'll be the first to say that I'm on that list, are going to believe that this team didn't win the championship.
No, the team that I think won the championship not only got screwed out of it in Game 4, but, and we haven't addressed this yet, they had to sit around in a hotel yet another night away from home because of not storms, mind you, but potential storms. To me, I don't recall games being canceled during the afternoon on days of games. And I talked to a friend in Winnipeg. They had like some light rain for about an hour. Everything missed them, but to me, I feel like it was Winnipeg's opportunity to, A, rest the bullpen, and B, from what I hear, they gave away a ton of tickets to fill the house and give them an even bigger home field advantage. Last night's result, it doesn't surprise me at all. Wichita is pitching a guy that was pitching, hasn't really pitched since the season ended, and like I said, it's human nature. You can't just turn it on again. You go from exhilaration to having to try to... Well, apparently you had to beat 11 guys on the field. I don't know how many ops were running the championship. But,
yeah.
Okay, you know, 13 guys. So, yeah, it's going to be tainted. To me, there's always going to be an asterisk by the championship, and I feel bad. I have friends in Winnipeg that were very happy last night, and I wish I could have shared in their excitement, but my friends in Winnipeg are also smart enough to realize, too, that this one is tainted, and I know they enjoyed the moment, but fortunately, they're the ones that realize, too, that there's going to be a real negative stigma behind the whole situation.
Well, there are probably some in the league office who think that any publicity is good publicity. I hate to break it to you, but this is not going to be one of those circumstances at all. So, well, let's go around and talk about a few other things before we head off for this week. Kind of as a surprise move, I will tell you honestly, Jorge De Leon, released by Gary, he was part of that really dominant bullpen that they had over there, and that kind of surprised me as a move. What are your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, it could just be paperwork. We don't know if he's retiring or if it was just he's under a one-year deal and they didn't want to keep him around for what he was making. So there's not much to be really read into releases and picking up options in that during the off season. So you never know. You could see him back, or he might be going on to his next step, or could be looking at Atlantic League next year. Who knows?
Well, speaking of the Atlantic League out there, they are cruising through their playoffs at this particular point with South Maryland and York facing off in Somerset and the Long Island Ducks battling each other. There's some we have some horses in this race, you know, because there have been guys who have come out of the Atlantic League that have participated against them. So next week when Kevin and I are next show, we'll talk a little bit about this series more in-depthly and discuss whoever was the Atlantic League champion by that point, which I'd assume we'll have a champion hopefully in a week or so.
Well, let's see. Well, Somerset just started their series with Long Island last night.
And they won 7-1 in that game, I see.
With our good friend Mark Hamburger pitching 7 innings and getting the win for the Patriots.
Well, good for him. See, Mark Hamburger coming up big. Even doesn't matter what league he's in. He's putting up some good numbers there regardless, so we like to...
Well, Somerset might be falling in love with him. I hope they don't get too attached because I don't think he's going to don't think they're going to see him back next year. But, you know, he's still one of those polarizing personalities that just, you know, once he's somewhere, they don't forget about him.
Well, it looks like they do not have a break between games. So they play Thursday night still in Long Island and then travel to Somerset for Friday and Saturday night if those are needed. So that's kind of an interesting non-break there between...
Yeah, you can kind of pull that off in that league where teams are all pretty short distance from each other. It's not like here where you're having to go from Kansas City to Gary or Lincoln to Fargo or anything like that. So... it's convenient, and that's another perk of that league, too. If you're playing in the East Coast, the travel is a heck of a lot less than it'd be playing in the American Association. I mean, look at the same thing with the Frontier League. The league is relatively compressed into a 4 or 5 states where travel isn't as big of a factor as it is in the Association.
Well, the last thing we wanted to mention this week before signing off is... a lot of people out there struggling because of disasters that have gone on. We saw Hurricane Harvey came and decimated a lot of Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi areas, and now Irma's blasted through Florida and up through Georgia and South Carolina. People out there suffering in Puerto Rico because of Hurricane Jose. Earthquake yesterday in Mexico, or a couple days ago in Mexico City. So we just ask all of you out there if there are organizations that you can get involved with and in helping people out there. It's not just about baseball, which I'm sure is greatly disrupted in those places as well, but lots of families. Puerto Rico, I'm understanding, doesn't even have power and may not have it for weeks. So I can't even imagine if I didn't have air conditioning and being in that hot of a temperature, I would be melting and completely suffering beyond words. And so my heart goes out to people in this country, and I hope people out there will remember that and give in some way or another, send something. You know, if you have canned goods or something, try to help out because there's a lot of people in need.
Yeah, you know, as much as we sit here, and I think we've gone on a pretty good diatribe about American Association and baseball and umpiring in general, it's, as Dan Barrero of KFAN up here says, it's the toy department. The reality is, yes, there's a lot of people going through a very rough time right now. And even tied into baseball, there's so many players from Puerto Rico that they're trying to play baseball, but their hearts are back home. I just read today that Hiram Bithorn Stadium, that is supposed to host a couple games between Minnesota and Cleveland next spring, got hit really hard with the storm. So who knows if... that's going to be able to happen. So, yeah, it's baseball. It's a getaway. It can be a source of stress the last few days, but in the big picture, it's such a small part of life. And like you said, if there's any way you folks can help out the people that are in need, please do so.
Absolutely. Well, for Kevin Luco, I'm Rob Pannier, and we want to thank you for joining us on This Week in the Association.